It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll talk to the organizer of a Milwaukee choir whose members suffer from Alzheimer's disease.
First, the total number of homicides in Milwaukee so far this year reached 85 this weekend with the shooting death of a 35-year-old man. That number, 85 people killed, is only one homicide shy of the total number for all of 2014. Last week alone, 10 people were killed.
With homicides up more than 100% over last year and recent killings including alarmingly young victims and suspects, like the shooting of one 13-year-old by another 13-year-old, the national media has taken notice. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn has blamed weak gun laws. He told USA Today that the sound of gunfire is so commonplace in Milwaukee that about 80% of gunshots detected by shot spotter sensors aren't even called into police by residents.
Here with us to talk about the spike in homicides is Ashley Lutheran, breaking news reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ashley, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Veronica.
So last week got the name Bloody Week in Milwaukee. What happened?
Last week, we had just a continuation of deadly violence that the city has seen, actually dating back to December of last year. I believe police officials started noticing it, but last week it really seemed to come to a head, especially at the end of the week. We had a 13-year-old boy, Giovanni, who was shot and killed, and that occurred the same day that charges were filed against a 15-year-old in the shooting death of 14-year-old Tariq Akbar, who was shot and killed after the fireworks at Milwaukee's lakefront.
Police Chief Ed Flynn said that in some cases, 80% of the shots registered on ShotSpotter aren't even being called into the police department. What does that tell you about the normalizing of violence in some Milwaukee neighborhoods?
I think there's no doubt that in some Milwaukee neighborhoods, gunfire is very common. I think particularly when you talk about ShotSpotter and the fact that police found after they installed this system, which picks up and verifies sounds of gunfire, when they realized that only 14% of the shots were actually being called in, that speaks to a couple of things. One, it speaks to perhaps people becoming used to it, and also people calling in to the police and maybe not getting the response that they would like. You know, if they report a shooting, but they don't know for sure that it was gunfire, maybe they just think it was the sound of gunfire. That doesn't give police a lot of information. That might make it a lower priority call. But gunfire, there's no doubt that gunfire is quite common in some neighborhoods in Milwaukee.
So again, we're talking about an over 100% increase in gun violence as compared with last year. Are we starting to have a handle on why Milwaukee is seeing a spike like this?
I think it's important to keep in mind that right now this is something that lots of major cities are dealing with. There have been spikes in Chicago and Baltimore and other cities around the country. And as we reported back in April when it first started to look so dramatic in terms of an increase year to year, we don't quite have enough data to show this is a sustained trend. We obviously know that there's a spike this year. It remains to be seen if this is an anomaly or not. But you always have to remember that this, we talk about trends and data, but you know, these are real people losing their lives. And I think someone at the vigil for Tariq said it best, and they said that everybody is somebody to someone. And so I think that's important to keep in mind as we're talking about this. It's not just numbers, it's people and families and neighborhoods.
We've been following an evolving story about the relationship between police and minority communities across the country, and Milwaukee has had some high-profile cases that get at that, including the Dontre Hamilton case. Do you see that as an aspect that may bear a closer look?
Absolutely. I think anyone you talk to in neighborhoods or police officers will say there's always room for improvement between the two. I mean, the police need the relationship of the community to solve crimes, and the community has to be able to trust the police and their response, and anything to increase that trust, I'm sure, would go a long way towards violence prevention. I think the degree to which that is playing a role depends on who you talk to. I will say, I believe it was Chief Flynn who said either during a press conference or during an interview that he believes that some role may be played by police officers who feel that they're under a microscope and that they are perhaps not engaging as they used to, and they feel, and you know, he said that's totally understandable because of the current climate that they're operating in. And again, he stressed that may only be one piece. So it's certainly on the minds of a lot of people here in Milwaukee.
Now, Chief Flynn also has been quoted as blaming what he calls absurdly weak gun laws. Have gun laws changed at all between last year and this year?
So there have been some changes. State lawmakers have rolled back the 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchase, which then prompted, once again, some state lawmakers to propose universal background checks, with their argument being, if you can so quickly do a background check that we don't need a waiting period, then why not do background checks for all gun sales, you know, private gun sales, gun show sales, that sort of thing.
And how are other city officials and lawmakers responding to the spike in homicides?
You have various responses. We're already in the middle of a mayoral campaign here in Milwaukee. You have some candidates for mayor, like Alderman Donovan, who has put forward some plans, one of the centerpieces of which is adding more police officers, which has been a consistent stance of his and position. And then you have Alderman Joe Davis, who I believe it was just on Friday, issued a news release saying he would prefer to redirect community development block grant money to organizations serving neighborhoods directly. And, you know, you have lots of different proposals. I think there is a frustration because people who work in this field, city leaders, they think we have examples of success. We have programs that seem to be working, but they are frustrated perhaps by this continuing violence and this continuing escalation. And so I think I would hope that there would continue to be a really large public debate about what should we be doing? Is the city doing enough? What else is out there? What haven't we considered?
So you mentioned a couple of proposals there. People have ideas, but are you seeing any sort of cohesive plan moving forward?
As far as what's been put out in the public realm, there hasn't been a cohesive vision or plan articulated by city leaders. There have been different proposals. There hasn't really been a coalescing of all these ideas saying, we agree that we need to address these areas and this is how we're going to move forward.
Now, you mentioned that other cities have been seeing the same sort of spike in homicides, and Milwaukee's not alone. Chicago, St. Louis, a couple of the other cities. In some places, synthetic drugs are being blamed as part of the problem there. Do you see that as being part of what's happening in Milwaukee?
I honestly haven't heard that in relation to Milwaukee. I think in Milwaukee, a lot of the causes that have been identified are, you know, a lot of arguments and disputes being resolved with gunfire. And the Homicide Review Commission, year after year, continues to tell us that, you know, four main factors of being a victim of a shooting or deadly violence in the city of Milwaukee is that you are with someone you know, one or both of you is under the influence of alcohol or drugs, so that could, you know, that could play in with the synthetic drugs. One or both of you is armed with some type of weapon, and then you have an argument. Those are the four factors that seem to be most commonly present during a non-fatal shooting or a homicide in the city of Milwaukee.
And as far as you know, have there been any budgetary changes in law enforcement that could account for the spike this year?
Well, I think that's been a long-term theory supported by the Milwaukee Police Association, the police union. You know, they've said that we need positions to be filled, we need to get rid of furloughs, and so I believe that, you know, they would relate that back to budgets. We've done stories in PolitiFacts about, you know, staffing levels in the police department. And I think that that's one issue that tends to keep coming up. I don't know. There hasn't been any big, massive cut that I'm aware of year to year. I think it's been a sustained concern of, for example, the police union, that these positions aren't being filled and that furloughs keep happening.
And Ashley, before we let you go, is there any sense about whether this trend we're seeing in Milwaukee and other cities like Baltimore, New Orleans, Chicago is a blip, an anomaly, or it's a meaningful national trend?
I think at this moment, yes, it's a national trend. Multiple cities are seeing this, but I think you're right in that it remains to be seen. We just need more information and more data if this is going to be a sustained problem. Is this marking a new normal? Is this just an anomaly? Is this just a spike in the years? I mean, in 2013, the city of Milwaukee recorded 105 homicides. That's a number that it hadn't recorded since 2007. So you need longer periods of data to be able to make that type of an assessment.
Ashley, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Ashley Luthern, breaking news reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the dramatic spike in homicides in Milwaukee this year. This weekend, that number reached 85 homicides, only one shy of the total number for all of 2014.